Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Crack is whack. Just say no to drugs, kids. This statement courtesy of the Biden campaign. Just say no. Just say no. All right. Hello. Welcome to hour two of the program. Great to have you with us today, folks. Busy, busy day. A lot going on. Debate coming up. And at this very moment, as President Trump, and I don't know how he does it, this president on the campaign trail doing rallies sun up to sundown. Joe Biden, we can now tell you, we can confirm, is sheltering in place in his basement and will not emerge until the debate. I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Good friend of this program from the Trump campaign, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate the time.
Hey, Hogan, first of all, what an incredible weekend for this president. Those crowds in California even stunned the Associated Press reporter who was traveling with you guys.
Absolutely. I think we're going to stun those reporters again because they spent a lot of time over the last 3 years, 4 years, attacking this president, 95% negative news coverage, as we've talked about before. We're going to stun them again when we bring this thing home and win a second term. Look, the American people deserve to see these two men on stage in a debate. They're going to do that on Thursday. Elections are about choices. What have you done? What did you promise you would do? What were you able to accomplish? And has it improved our lives? And we now know, thanks to a Gallup poll, that a majority of the American people feel as though they're better off now than they were 4 years ago. And that is exactly the question the great Ronald Reagan asked on that debate stage. And even Joe Biden admitted if they believe that, they should vote for the president. So I don't know if that was a concession or not, but regardless of that, we're looking really good in these states. The president's hitting a stride. The people are enthusiastic. They're excited, registering to vote as Republicans in much larger numbers than our Democrats. We got to bring it home.
Yeah, a lot of people in the media think that all those people going out and doing the early voting are Democrats. Hogan, I'm telling you, at least here in Tennessee, where this program is based, firsthand, I can tell you a lot of those people are, in fact, Republicans.
Oh, and I'm sure they are, and that's great news. I mean, Republicans typically vote, more on Election Day, and we expect that to be the case now. It doesn't look like Democrats are gaining any ground or any new voters at this point. It looks like it's kind of the same old for them, kind of the folks who embraced the radical ideology of Joe Biden and now, Kamala Harris, and, of course, AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and all the like. And so Green New Deals that would kill 10.5 million energy jobs and amnesty for illegal aliens, and then make us pay for all of their health care, not to mention the fact that they want to abolish ICE and open up our borders and all those things that are so problematic for real Americans. I think that that's really going to hurt the Democrats and hurt Joe Biden in this campaign. It's our job between now and November to make sure that message gets out there and so that those lines of voters get longer and longer and longer for Trump voters.
Hogan, I don't mean to bring up a sore spot here, but the when you go back to that Tulsa rally where the crowd was not exactly what everybody thought it was going to be, and the mainstream media said at that very moment, it's over, Trump is done, no more support, this is it, this is the sign that it's all over for Trump. And of course, now we know that the tens of thousands of people are coming out for this president. And I bring that up, that Tulsa moment and the media coverage, because over the weekend, 40 cars showed up for a massive Joe Biden rally in Durham, North Carolina, and the mainstream media completely ignored that story. This is shady, shady stuff, Hogan.
Well, I mean, if that was the shadiest stuff the media did, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But they do a lot more shady things. I mean, this email scandal now with Joe Biden is a massive story, especially when you consider Joe Biden was really in charge of building relationships for the United States with two countries, Ukraine and China. And what do you know? Those two countries gave millions of dollars in contracts to Joe Biden's son, Hunter. millions and millions of dollars. And so we know that Burisma is a corrupt company. Everyone acknowledges that. We know that Ukraine is a corrupt country. Everyone acknowledges that. We know China is corrupt and communist. And those are the ones funding the Biden's lifestyle. And that, to me, is so egregious. And for the press not to even ask about it, I mean, they hauled up all of the Trump children in front of Congress for some made-up witch hunt hoax that was a complete and total lie about Russia. But we have real emails, and the media doesn't even ask the Biden campaign about it. And when they do see Joe Biden walking down the street, the best they can shout out is, "What flavor is your milkshake?" It's embarrassing.
And it's true. And that's exactly what happened over the weekend in North Carolina outside of the cookout. Someone tried to ask a question about that, and he walked away and bit the head off the CBS reporter who dared to ask that question. And you're right, Hogan. Is the media, and this is a silly question, I guess, the media really is that corrupt? And so is social media, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what Twitter and Facebook are doing, I mean, it is a campaign contribution, no question. But it's also election interference. To try and suppress a story like this, if their new standard at Twitter and Facebook is not to run a story with uncorroborated information in it, not to run a story with hacked information, which, by the way, none of the information alleged in this Joe Biden scheme was hacked. So just so we get that out. But if they're not going to run stories with non-corroborated information or with hacked information, they'd never run a story on President Trump, because that's all there are. All it is shadowy sources that we don't even know if they're true or not. All it is someone behind the scenes trying to pretend as though they know more than they actually do, and they run them as fact. I mean, they did this for 3.5 years on Russia. We talked about it before. Adam Schiff said he had absolute stone-cold evidence that the president had colluded with Russia. Where is that, by the way? The fact he's still on TV is shocking, but has anyone ever asked him, "Hey, do you have that evidence you said you had? Where is it?"
It's a great question. It deserves an answer. Hogan, I'm curious about this this coming debate. What is the strategy of the president, and is he going to be bringing up these scandalous accusations and the reporting of the New York Post?
Well, if the moderator doesn't, I'm pretty sure the president will. The American people deserve answers for this, and it's important for the president to try and get to the bottom of it. The American people need to see just what Joe Biden's been up to. He won't answer these questions, and now we found out he called a lid basically from now until Thursday. So he's not doing anything else until the debate. So, you know, that's a whole other interesting thing altogether. Yeah, it is pretty shady. But look, I think the president, Todd, you and I have heard it before. Some people don't like every tweet. Some people don't like every word. Oh, well, the debate, he was kind of harsh. Well, let me just tell you something. The president's attitude, that harshness, that toughness, that brashness is what got trade deals that benefited the American worker that Joe Biden could never do. It's that type of attitude that Donald Trump has that got his peace deals in the Middle East that everyone said couldn't be done, including Joe Biden. It's that kind of attitude that got our hostages home. It's that kind of attitude that rebuilt the military, crushed ISIS, got more jobs for African-Americans, Asian-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, and women than we've ever seen before. It's that type of attitude that got us the greatest economy the world's ever known. That's the guy who delivers for us. And the media may not like the president's style, but they definitely hate the president's substance, because what he's been able to do has been take power away from them and give it right back to the American people. That's what infuriates them more. They don't like Joe Biden, the media. They just hate Donald Trump. And so Joe Biden didn't have a clue how to get this country back on track, because we saw he had the chance to do it for years and years and years and years and years and never did it. The president's right. He's done more in 47 months for the American people than Joe Biden's done in 47 years.
Hogan, real quick here. We've been talking about and documenting today some of the attacks on the president's supporters out there. A farmer had the pro-Trump flags on his tractor and combine. Both were burned, destroyed. Matt Schlapp, just a little while ago, shared a letter that was sent to homeowners who support this president, telling them basically they better get their insurance policies in order because their homes are going to burn. And then we saw the violence in Ithaca, New York, and in San Francisco. What does the campaign say to those Trump supporters out there?
Well, it's really a shame that all of these Biden supporters have decided to take to violence and burning our city streets, looting, rioting, attacking innocent Americans. That's what they're doing. And the Trump supporters out there need to stand tough, stand tall, go vote for the man who's promising and who has delivered on safety and security in so many of our neighborhoods, peace and prosperity, who wants to defend the police, not defund the police. And there is a reason these cops and these unions are coming out and supporting President Trump where they used to support Joe Biden, because they know this president has their back and he's not going to let this type of lawlessness continue, regardless of what these Democrat governors are fine with letting happen to so many citizens in this country.
Well said. Well said. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Hogan, before we let you go, you know, Grace Baker, our call screener, you know, she's a big University of Memphis. She's a graduate of University of Memphis. And I told her, I said, now, you know, don't be saying anything to Gidley. I know he's an Ole Miss guy, but.
Yeah. No, why would you do that?
I don't know.
Why would she say anything? We know Memphis has our number, man. We don't want to talk about that.
If you want to talk about Tennessee and Kentucky, geez, Lou, that's another story.
Yeah, that's right.
That's tragic.
Story.
All right. True. Hogan, look, always appreciate you coming on the program, and have fun out there on the campaign trail.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
All right. There you go. Hogan Gidley. Well, Grace, it's true. I mean, it's, you know how it is. Sometimes these football rivalries in the South, you know.
I mean, ever since Ole Miss called Memphis their little brother, it was on from there. You know, that's what went down, right? Ever since then, Memphis is like, nope, we hate your guts.
And what happened to Avery? Avery was talking smack and everything last week, you know,
yeah.
Talking about the Georgia, what is it, the Dalmatians?
What happened, Avery? Your team's name.
This is a very, very hard and depressing time for me right now, and I would just like distance and time to recollect my thoughts, please, and I would greatly appreciate it.
You need some
and
me
maybe
time.
Maybe a cookie.
You need
yes,
some me time.
I need
it's okay,
some
you guys.
Time.
Just come over to the winning side. We're the only team that won this weekend, it feels like.
Oh, my goodness. All right, guys, we got to take a break. When we come back, Avery, I need to ask you about Chris Pratt. Apparently, the Marvel world is in turmoil, and it involves Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Hey, we're going to be taking your calls, too, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Sandra is weighing in on the Facebook live stream. Todd, Joe Biden is a pervert, liar, thief. Well, there you go. Oh, also, I want to say hello to some of our great listeners in Port Richey, Florida. Gene hanging out with us. Gene, hope you're doing well. And let's see, Gene Strickland from Gainesville, Georgia. WDUN, a great radio affiliate. Welcome to all of our listeners across the fruited plain. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Thad in Florida. Thad, I understand you just voted.
I sure did, Todd. I'm really excited to be on the phone with you. Jesus, Lou, I'm on the phone with you.
I love it.
It was a good experience. So a lot of people this morning.
Is that right? So a lot of people in the line?
Yes, sir. In Central Florida, just south of Orlando. We live on the ridge. I live in Lake Wales. So it was a wonderful experience. Everyone was positive. No fracases were breaking out or anything, but I felt really good about voting, man. I'm very proud. Very proud.
Thad, I'm very curious. So, you've cast your vote. I'm not going to ask you who you voted for, but I do want to know this. What were the issues for you that mattered?
Issues for me was the total direction in which our country is going, and I'm very, very afraid. I always think of my dad, who was a highly decorated bomber pilot in World War II, and what he sacrificed and what the greatest generation sacrificed. I am a Christian, so I'm just terribly afraid of, I mean, you can probably tell who I voted for, but I'm just terribly afraid and pray all day and all night long that we get through this dark tunnel and come out the other end. But something people have been talking about is how positive President Trump is all the time. And it's something I researched is that he, as a young man, was brought up in the Marble Collegiate Church where Norman Vincent Peale was the pastor. So I think that's where he gets his, I'm not going to get stopped. I'm a winner. We will overcome. He's just a positive. I don't believe he has losing in his vocabulary.
I remember that back in I remember that back in the day, Norman Vincent Peale, the power of positive thinking. And remember they had the Guidepost magazine. I think they still have Guidepost. It's gone to the left a little bit. But back in the day, that was a big deal. And to your point, you're right. President Trump was brought up in that church, and that's where he got his first Bible. And I think maybe it did have a profound impact on the way he looks at life.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem. I was always involved in motorsports, so we never unloaded a car without thinking we're going to win. So we never thought we're going to lose. But
I think that's right?
His foundation.
Thad, I'm curious. What kind of motor cars were you involved in?
Indy cars and sports car racing.
Indy cars that
race at the Indianapolis 500 and sports cars that race like at Sebring and the 24 Hours of Daytona. But I'm 63 years old now, so I'm a little too slow to be participating in that anymore.
You're a young fella there, Thad. Hey, have you seen that movie, Ford versus Ferrari?
Yes, yes, yes. In fact, I know a couple of the drivers on there, very, very talented people. I know Tony Hunt was involved in that, and stunt drivers, and it's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
You know, it's one of those movies, Thad, where you can just watch it over and over and over again.
It is. So I guess that sounds to me like you're a racing fan or an automobile fan, so that's wonderful.
I am.
I want to compliment you on is the people that you have working for you. The people that you have working for you, surrounded yourself with wonderful people. And I'm so glad that I was able to find your show and be part of it. And I want you to know that I appreciate it very much.
Thad, you're very kind to say that. And we're glad you're a part of our radio family, listening to us on our live stream. And yes, sir, I have an incredibly great and talented staff, and it's an honor to be able to work with them every single day on this radio show. Just don't tell them that, Thad, because we're going to give them a pay raise.
Yeah, I understand. Avery's a drummer, so I was a church drummer my whole life. Well, so you got a good kid. He's got good rhythm.
Yes, he does. With that note, we'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstearns.com. And one of the stories we've been talking about for quite some time today is this attack that happened over near the Republican Party headquarters in Ithaca, New York. And we're honored to have on the Liberty University Newsmaker line Mike Sigler, who is with the local Republican Party there. Mike, good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And thank you for asking. Mike, I want you to take our listeners back to what happened. Tell us what you guys were up to, and then share with us this group that really stormed the gathering you guys were having.
Right. Well, we had some members who decided that they would like to have a rally. I mean, you have to understand kind of what Ithaca is. It's a very collegiate town. But when it comes to the ratio of Republicans to Democrats, I mean, we're certainly in the minority. I mean, it's something a bit along the lines of, you know, 30% Republicans to 70% Democrats. So it's certainly a minority party. They had decided to have a rally to show that they said, hey, you know, there are some people in Ithaca that are like-minded people that support Republicans. We have a Republican congressman, Tom Reed, who we support, and we have state senators who are Republicans as well. And obviously we have a lot of members that support Donald Trump. So they wanted to get out there and show that kind of support to show people that, yes, actually, you know what, it's not all just one-sided. So we opened up a headquarters this year, and they decided to have this rally on one of the main streets. And just from there, the other group, the protesting group, a lot of them were from the Democratic Socialists. They were supposedly leading this. Obviously, see some other group members were incorporated into other groups, but they were the lead on this. And they basically were across the street, but then decided to come over to where the rally was. There was some pushing. I mean, the Republicans, the headline at the Cornell Daily Sun, I thought, summed it up rather well. They had a retreat into the headquarters. And anytime you're pushed off a street like that, and the larger group tries to silence you, I mean, then it becomes a civil rights issue. And then that's really what we're talking about today. Is it's not a matter of who you support for president. It's a matter of you have a voice, and then the other side did not want to hear that voice.
Yeah, let's talk about the, I mean, there were some injuries. One woman suffered a shoulder injury, dislocated her shoulder. Mm-hmm. Another individual was hurt as well. I have to imagine for some of those folks, it must have been a fairly terrifying experience as well to see that large mob, and it looked like a pretty big crowd that had gathered outside your headquarters.
Yeah, it was about a 3-to-1 ratio. And you have to understand, too, some of the Republicans there are not, we're not 25-year-olds, a lot of them. There are some older people involved, some people who are, you know, in their 50s or 60s, or even, you know, maybe 70-year-old people we have that come to headquarters. And the one woman, she had the sign just ripped from her hand. That's how she dislocated her shoulder. I mean, so you have people that are holding up signs and other people coming and, you know, physically trying to intimidate them into silence. And so, yeah, the injuries that were sustained, we had to call an ambulance for the one person. She had to get checked out. She went up to the hospital later. And, you know, I'm one of those people who doesn't particularly like when people start burning things in the street. That is always a big concern when I see someone light a fire. I don't know why that is in vogue now, but it should stop immediately.
No, I'm with you, Mike. This is just unacceptable. And the fact of the matter is that we have seen, by and large, I would say about 98% of these political attacks have been Democrat on Republican crimes. And that's what I see happening. I mean, they vandalized your building. I saw they scrawled "Trump dies" on the wall. Where were the police in all of this, Mike?
Well, and that's part of the problem. I mean, the problem is, too, the police, the group is so large, and our police force isn't that large. How are they going to maintain any semblance of order when they can't even get to the scene, right? In Ithaca, too, the protesters, it depends on what group you're talking about, but every Sunday there's a protest in Ithaca. It's been growing in intimidation from day one, really. A couple weeks ago, a flag was taken down at the police station, and it was ripped apart and burned, and then they hung it back up. And that's the kind of thing you're talking about. And I think they think it's just a protest. No, it's actually a form of intimidation. You're trying to intimidate people into silence. And that goes against everything the country's founded on.
It does, Mike. And going back to what Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from California, said so infamously, she called on people to absolutely harass Trump supporters, to get in their faces, to confront them no matter where they are. And by and large, Mike, I think people are doing what they've been instructed to do here. And we have yet to hear Democrats, and specifically Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, come out and condemn this kind of behavior. This is offensive, it's un-American, and it's criminal what happened to you guys.
Well, and everything you heard there, too, it's a form of othering, right? You're not just an opinion, a Republican with a different opinion now. Now you're a Nazi. I mean, take the worst thing that you can think of in the world, and that's how you're characterizing your opponent. And nobody out in front of the, you know, Republican HQ in Ithaca, New York, upstate New York, right, big blue state, is a Nazi. There are people that have a different viewpoint of yours, and if you have to jump to the fact and say, no, you're a racist, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to dehumanize that person so that people go, oh, I can't listen to him. He's a racist, for goodness sakes. Or I can't listen to her. She's a Nazi. Well, I mean, how much worse do you have to go down the row to try to quiet somebody?
Now, Mike, you mentioned a word, and it's such an important word. You said they're trying to intimidate you guys. And by and large, it works. I mean, people get attacked. They're bullied, and what do they do? They go home, they close their doors, take down their Trump signs, and that's that. But you guys have taken a very different approach to this, and I understand that your response is to basically hold another rally this coming weekend.
Well, that one is something that has been planned before. it's a rally that's not actually associated with the Republican Party, but it is a Back to Blue rally. That's going to be happening on Saturday. Certainly, we've always supported police, the Republican Party. Some of the people that were at the Republican rally are going to be at the Back to Blue rally. So, you know, hopefully, you know, there won't be any violence associated with that. I mean, I remember a time in America where police, you kind of understood that they were on your side. It's no question nowadays that there is an issue with policing in America. But I don't think you get to a solution by intimidating people and saying, hey, you know, no, the police are all at the wrong here, and we want to see the police, you know, abolished. That's not going to happen. So how do we get to a better place? And we certainly don't get that by having, you know, a large group of protesters go and try to silence the other group.
Or to burn down the police department's flag in front of police headquarters, for crying out
loud.
Well,
yeah, that was bad, right?
That's gracious. Mike Sigler, by the way, folks, on the Newsmaker line from Ithaca, New York. Mike, I'm curious, what is the scene there? I mean, are people excited to get out and support this president and the Republican Party in November? We're certainly seeing that in other parts of the country.
No, I certainly think you see that in upstate New York. You know, upstate New York is not a sea of red, but it's certainly much more purple. And President Trump won a lot of counties up here. The thing about Tompkins County is it's literally the most blue county in the state of New York. And I say that even over Manhattan. It's the one county that voted for Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton in the primary.
Wow.
I mean, Cuomo doesn't even win his primary here in Tompkins County. It goes to it's a teach out last time. So, yeah, you're definitely dealing with a different organism in Tompkins County.
All right. Well, Mike, look, we appreciate you coming on the program. Anything we can do to help you guys, you know, you've got my contact info, and let us know. And be safe out there and watch your six.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Again, this just comes down to a civil rights issue about free speech, and that's the tact we were taking with it.
Well said. Mike Sigler, ladies and gentlemen, he is chairman of the Republican Party there in Tompkins County. That's Ithaca, New York. And, I mean, you heard the guy. He's not some sort of, like, you know, I don't think he's like a raging right winger. You know, this is a very moderate sounding Republican, and now they're accusing the moderate sounding Republicans of being Nazis. And you lose the argument when you do that, folks. By and large, though, but when you look at what the Democrats are trying to do by silencing opinion, shutting down any kind of news agency that has an opinion they disagree with, banning books and music and movies and things like that, that's a problem. That's a big problem in my estimation. That is Nazi behavior. But standing up and engaging in your First Amendment rights, that's America. That's not Nazism. Come on. Jeez-a-loo. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones here. Frank from Hot Springs, Arkansas. You've been holding on for a while, Frank. What's going on?
Well, Todd Brachel told me to go get right to it. You had a caller earlier that said he had to vote for a Libertarian. He wasn't going to vote for Trump. He had some, I don't know, personal issues as far as Trump is concerned. But you mentioned that the vote for a Libertarian was actually a vote for Biden. I disagree. He's not voting for Biden. He's not voting for Trump. Neither one of them are going to be counted. You know, if he's voting Libertarian across the board, he should have saved his gas and stayed home.
Well, that's a fair point. That's a fair point, Frank. You know, I do go back though to the George H.W. Bush race. Was that 92 when H.W. was running against Bill Clinton, and you had Ross Perot jump into that race? And Ross Perot, just because it was that crazy political cycle where you had H.W. Who said, read my lips, no new taxes, then turned around and slapped us with a tax. And as a result of that, I mean, it's very clear that the third-party candidate, you know, had an impact there. Otherwise, I think H.W. would have won re-election.
Well, Todd, I don't believe the Libertarian he's going to vote for was anywhere close to the stature of Ross Perot.
That's a fair statement, Frank. And Howie, I bet Howie, the Green Party candidate, gets more votes. All right.
Well, Todd, I really enjoy your show. I loved one of your ads that came on about the preborn, and I made a donation this morning, right after I came home from voting.
Well,
so have a blessed day, and I'll continue listening.
Well, you're very kind, Frank, and God bless you. We're huge fans of Mission Preborn, and this is a ministry, and they do such an incredible job of reaching out to these crisis pregnancy centers. And their main goal, this is what they do, is a lot of these crisis pregnancy centers, they do not have the equipment, the materials they need to help these ladies. And so our good friends at Mission Preborn have made it their mission to make sure that sonogram machines, all these medical devices that the crisis pregnancy centers need, they're going to provide. And so we've been partnering with them. And a couple of weeks ago, we had one of our listeners call up Mission Preborn and said, you know what, I just want to buy a machine. Here's $14,000, whatever it was. And they said, here's the money, and you can buy one of these machines. So look, even if you don't have, if you have $14,000, that's great. But probably most of us have $10, $20, $50, maybe $100. And they could certainly use all the help we could give them. So here's what I want you to do. Just write this down. They make it real easy. They want you to call, all right? Call #250 with the keyword baby. Not text, but call. Call #250 with the keyword baby, and they'll get you hooked up with what you need. Also, we have links to Mission Preborn and on our website, and you can help them out there as well. All right, we're going to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Our website again, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Stearns.
Question for all of you moms and dads out there, and you know what, grandmas and grandpas. All right, so if you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, I have a question for you. We've been following this story involving Kellyanne Conway and her daughter, the 15-year-old. What's her name? Claudia. Claudia, the 15-year-old. And she's on the social medias. We're talking like Instagram and the TikTok. I think that's the big thing now with the kids is the TikTok. And the daughter is basically sharing all the family's deep, dark secrets on the TikTok. and causing all sorts of chaos, explosive allegations, and just filthy mouth child. So here's my question. What do you do with your kid? I mean, if Claudia was your child, what would you do with the kid? Would you, because she's like videoing the parents and, I mean, putting it all out there. Now, I will not say right away what my parents would have done, but I'm wondering if you guys still support corporal punishment, like, you know, the belt or the switch. Or is this a matter of just taking away? What are you looking at me like that for, Grace Baker? I mean, you're about to be a newlywed. You better be thinking about these kinds of things.
I'm just thinking about being a dog mom right now.
Okay, well, fine. What if your dog gets on the TikTok? Well, the dog can't do that. It doesn't have opposable thumbs. But what would you do? I mean, you've got to start thinking about these kinds of things.
Well, first of all, take the phone away. Like 100% take the phone away. Give her a flip phone if she needs communication. Mm-hmm. She doesn't need a smartphone.
Now, you see, Avery, I suspect your parents, you know, did not, or they followed the mantra, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Well, I don't know if I would agree with that. I mean, for the most part, yeah, like I was spanked when I was a child. That if to more further that statement, I was definitely disciplined.
Well, wait. Spank is like, don't do that again, or you get a whooping.
I got whooping.
Okay, you got a whooping. All right.
Well, I got spanks and whoopings. You know how those sometimes can go hand in hand. But I mean, like, yeah, like when I messed up and I didn't, and I, you know, said something I wasn't supposed to in the context I was not supposed to say it in, my parents wore me out. They told me, you are not supposed to do that ever again. Do not do that, or else you will get the hand again.
I have a question for you and Grace.
Okay.
When you look at how this child is behaving, it just seems to me, based on her behavior, she has not been disciplined. There's not a lot of discipline in the household.
Like, she's been handed everything. Just my observation. She seems like a spoiled brat to me. Like I said, start taking away stuff. How old is she?
15.
15? Oh, yeah. Take away stuff.
Oh, yeah. Me and my sister, well, my sister more specifically, has decided that, like, when she has kids, my sister is 3 years older than me, so she's closer to marriage than I am right now and having kids. But, like, she has told me, she says, I do not care. I am not giving my phone or my child a phone until they are at the age of 16.
You see,
they can prove themselves worthy of one.
Yeah. And Avery, maybe that is it, is that does a 15-year-old really need to have a social media presence and a platform?
No. No, you don't.
I think that's the bigger question. Folks, we're going to open this up in the next hour. What do you do with a child like Claudia Conway? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Do you, like, spank the child? Do you take away all the social media? Do you ground the child? All of the above? What do you do? I think she needs to go to church, at least Sunday school. We'll be right back.